As I ask the children, let me ask you, what is most valuable to you? What is most valuable to you? And I would hope that you would be thinking immediately of family, of close relationships. I hope you wouldn't be thinking about my car or my house. Yeah, that may be the most valuable physical possession we have, but really, in light of eternity, they're really nothing. Jesus told us to be cautious about what we really value. And in Matthew 6, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." We are taking a journey to the cross through prayer. And we need to look at our destination and allow it to be our inspiration on that journey, but also it is the goal of that journey. But we said we're going on a journey to the cross and beyond. And the beyond is that once we pass through Good Friday, there is a resurrection day. And the cross reminds us that everything we have here in this life must pass through that cross. And everything that is of self and this world will become ashes one day. And what will be eternal, what will live forever in a new resurrection, is all that which is good and pure and righteous, those things that are eternal. Well, let's see if we can unpack that today. We're taking this journey through prayer using the model that Jesus gave us of prayer, of the Lord's Prayer. And you can say the Lord's Prayer as a rote repetition of essentially meaningless words, or you can pray the Lord's Prayer in a life-transforming encounter with God Himself. And I will submit to you that when Jesus gave His disciples this prayer, He wasn't giving them a prayer just to pray. He was teaching them of how to have a life-changing encounter with the living God. These words, as we have heard them, teach us how we can meet God through this privilege of prayer. We learn that it takes a relationship to begin this encounter with God, the relationship of prayer. And last week, we learned about the holiness of prayer. A little bit, a glimpse of this God whom we will encounter in prayer. And this next request will teach us the priority of prayer. What's most important? What is most valuable to us now and forever? The priority of prayer. Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I'll submit to you today, I believe that's what Jesus wants us to do when He taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is the prayer that Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, taught us to pray. And help us to focus just on these key words this morning. So teach us what it means when we ask of You, when we pray to you, when we request of you that your kingdom come. Teach us, O Lord, how to pray this prayer and how we can be transformed and changed by this request. And we pray in the precious and in the powerful and of the magnificent name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God. The priority of prayer is to treasure what God treasures. God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is indeed a great treasure. We heard that read this morning as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had to buy that field. Why was he excited? Because you just don't stumble across a treasure every day. You don't just stumble across something that will literally change your life. And Jesus said, that's what God's kingdom is like. It's like something that is so precious, so valuable, that you'll risk everything to obtain it. Sold everything, sold it all, to obtain that field and to get that treasure. Again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. This was his occupation. This was his passion. He'd seen lots of pearls in his day, but when he found the one of great price, more valuable than any that he had ever seen or collected, he had a passion to sell everything. Everything he had was worth putting on the line for this one beautiful pearl. Precious pearl. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The kingdom of God is so valuable. It is worth everything we have or could possibly possess in this life. And that gets a little bit to what it means when we pray, your kingdom come. We want that which is most valuable to be regarded by us as a priceless treasure. It is of infinite value. What else would you put next to it? Some of you may have seen my Facebook post. Emily has been encouraging me to do a little video to put a taste out there for my messages. And I talked about what's of real worth. And I mentioned that I have a couple of cousins that are my age, one just slightly younger than me and one just a couple years older than I am. And each of them are billionaires, honestly. They inherited a couple of $1 billion apiece from my great uncle, my grandfather's brother. Now, my grandfather emigrated from Switzerland way back in the 1920s. My uncle, great uncle, stayed over there and through some shrewd investments became enormously wealthy. Now, I don't know them. I've never met my cousins there. They don't know me. And my part of the inheritance was a big goose egg. But I will tell you this morning that I would not trade all of their riches, their billions of dollars in their portfolio, for the value, the true treasure of God's kingdom. And I can say that with all honesty because I found the greatest of all treasures. And nothing in this world would be able to sway me otherwise. The kingdom of God for which we pray is of infinite value. So, okay, what makes it so valuable? What is it? Is it the inheritance that we'll get? Of living in paradise? Is it the streets of gold? Is it the gates of pearl? Is it the rubies and the emeralds and the buildings that are made of beautiful crystal? Is that what is really valuable about God's kingdom? Jesus talked about the value of something that is valuable for us right here and now. What is the true value of the kingdom? And I'd like to suggest this morning that the true value, the true treasure of the kingdom is the King. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is God's reign and rule come to us. The King has come and brought us into a relationship with himself that we could know this awesome and good and kind and caring and beautiful and loving and faithful and gentle and patient and joyful God. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are praying that the King indeed would come into our life. And if we have the King, we have everything. All of his riches, all of his goodness. The Bible often talks about receiving things from God's hand. And we can be thankful for all the things that God gives, all the blessings that he bestows in abundance from his hand. But most often when the Bible talks about seeking God, it's not seeking his hand and what we can receive from God. It is seeking his face and coming into a relationship with him. What is it that makes heaven heaven? It is that Jesus himself is there. And if he is our greatest treasure, we have everything in him. And so when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we're praying for people everywhere to come under God's good and gracious rule. That indeed God would be enthroned as King of our hearts. And in him we have our greatest treasure. God's kingdom is his rule in our lives, enthroned as the one who is the authority of our life and whom we will gladly obey and submit to his will. And that's next week on the obedience of prayer. Your will be done. The late John Stott, wonderful Bible teacher and theologian, said the kingdom of God is his royal rule. As he is already holy, so he is already king, reigning in absolute sovereignty over both nature and history. We're praying God's kingdom come, that God's rule would extend into every part of our lives, that he would expand his rule over every territory of our heart, that there would be nothing, no place in us where God isn't present and where he doesn't reign supreme. And so, first we are to seek the treasure of God's kingdom. Seek first the treasure of God's kingdom, which is the King himself. Secondly, we are told to seek first the grace of God's kingdom. It was Martin Luther who said, "God sent his Son into the world to redeem and deliver us from the devil's power, to bring us to himself and to govern us as a king of righteousness, life, and salvation against sin, death, and the devil." Colossians chapter 1 tells us about the grace that he extended to us. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness," that is the power, the authority, the kingdom of darkness, which is ruled by Satan. And incidentally, Satan gained this kingdom by deceiving Adam and Eve, because Satan is only the king wherever he reigns, and where sin is ascendant, where sin rules and masters us, well, Satan is behind that. And so he's rescued us from this bondage to sin and darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That redemption, of course, came at a price. To redeem something is to pay a price for it, and Jesus paid a steep price. It was not with silver or gold that we were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us from our forefathers, but with the precious blood of a lamb unblemished, the blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. And so the grace of God's kingdom. When Jesus preached about the kingdom of God, it says that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And some translations will say the gospel of the kingdom, but the word gospel simply means good news. It's good news because God has come and by his grace rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, the kingdom of light. It's good news because we didn't deserve any of it. It is good news because it comes to us by grace, and that is why we pray, your kingdom come. We can't bring God's kingdom. It must come by God's power, and God's power is active through the gospel, the good news. Where the gospel is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit comes to turn our hearts away from sin, that we would be convicted of our sin and convinced of our sinfulness and our need to seek Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes and gives us the power, the grace to come to Jesus and to receive him. Ephesians chapter 2 puts it very starkly. It said that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, that's sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We're to seek first God's kingdom by seeking the treasure of God's kingdom, which is the King himself. That treasure includes the immeasurable riches of his grace. So we're to seek the grace of God's kingdom because it is the King himself who wants to spend eternity loving on us, pouring out on us the immeasurable riches of his grace for all of eternity. I just can't quite get my head around that. We think heaven's going to be heaven because God's going to be there. There'll be streets of gold, and we're just going to be praising God all day. You know what? God's going to be loving on us for eternity. Wow. A great treasure. Third, seek first the righteousness of God's kingdom. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, what's that? What's the righteousness of God? It is God who will always do what is right and what is best. And he wants to do what is best for us. But the fact is that oftentimes we are unrighteous. Well, that's our default setting, unrighteousness. And we can't live righteously except as we come into relationship with him, and we'll hear more about that next week on Your Will Be Done. But through Jesus Christ, he comes into our life to replace our unrighteousness with his righteousness. As we live for Christ, we will live out his righteousness in our lives. For the kingdom of heaven is righteousness and joy and peace. It is living in a right relationship with God. And when things are in a right relationship with him, everything else will be right in our lives. It is living out in this wonderful joy of having Jesus Christ as our King and living out that life with him. But it's also living out our life with a burning desire that not just that the kingdom would come to us and we would just be enjoying this wonderful relationship with the King, but a burning desire that the whole world may also bow down in adoration, in reverence, and in praise, in worship, and honor, and thanksgiving to the great king, that they would discover who this king is. So we pray, your kingdom come. Yes, may it come more and more in our lives, and it reach into more and more the territory of our heart, that you would be Lord over all, but also that you would be Lord over all people, that more and more people would come into your gracious and loving and good kingdom. We're praying that Jesus Christ would reign supreme in our lives, but in the world he created. And lastly, we want to talk about the choice of God's kingdom. And I wrestled with this because I thought, is it really our choice? Jesus told his disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. God made the first choice, and he chose us even before the foundation of the world. But we can refuse and harden our hearts against God's grace that he extends to us in Jesus Christ. So we still must make a decision. Christ had to make a decision. Luke chapter 4, verses 5 to 7, it says, and the devil took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. What was the choice that Jesus was confronted with and the choice that he made in that temptation? And let us not gloss over it too quickly, thinking that it wasn't a great temptation, because Jesus knew that he himself was the true Lord of all the earth. But in Scripture, Satan is called the ruler of this world. Because why? Because it is ruled by sin. Sin can rule our life too. For Jesus, the choice was this, and it was a real choice. Would Jesus go to the cross and pay the horrible price for our sin? Or would he take the easy way out and just say, sure, I'll be the ruler right now of all the earth? The temptation means this, that we are always tempted in the same way that Jesus was tempted. Satan comes and says, would you want the whole world? Or are you going to be satisfied with Christ, with Jesus? It is a real choice. But in his temptation, Jesus wasn't just choosing between being the ruler of the world without going to the cross. That in choosing the cross, Jesus chose us. He chose you and I to be with him forever. If Jesus would be the ruler of the world without the cross, we would not have the good news of the kingdom. Jesus chose the cross, and he chose us. And he chose us not simply to be his subjects in a kingdom, but to be the ones whom he would love on for eternity. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. Resurrected, he sat down at the right hand of power so that we could be with him. And that's the joy that was set before Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 12, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Let not sin rule your life. There's a choice we make every day. Is Jesus going to reign in our life, or is sin going to reign in our life? Whom are we going to obey? Jesus said you can't serve two masters. Either sin's going to be our master, or Jesus Christ is going to be our master. Which will it be? Have you submitted to the authority of Jesus Christ in your life? Is Jesus Christ on the throne of your heart? Is he your greatest treasure? And if so, we can say with conviction, Revelation 22:20, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Your kingdom come into my life and into this world, this needy world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us what it means for your kingdom to come. And yes, Lord, reign in our lives as Lord. And if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't submitted to your loving rule and authority over their life, has not bowed the knee to the one who was crucified for us. Oh Lord, may they cry out today, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe indeed you paid a price to redeem me and rescue me from the bondage, from the dominion and the power of darkness, and to bring us into your kingdom, where I now have the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, I believe you died on that cross for that purpose, and I ask that you come into my heart and into my life as my Savior, my Lord. And I want to live for you. I want you to reign in my life. For indeed, you are my greatest treasure. Oh Lord Jesus, come. Come into each heart. Come into our needy world. Come and let your gospel, this good news, be proclaimed so that more and more can come to your kingdom. Oh Lord, your kingdom come. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.